Would you pray with me? Holy God, it's a hard word we've heard because it reminds us that we're not perfect, something we don't like to dwell on, to think about. But we pray that not only do we hear that challenge, but also help us to hear the other half, the half of your grace. And may we be in that grace, be given peace and the will to be your people in our daily lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A number of years ago, there was a marvelous Ziggy cartoon. Ziggy's walking down the street, talking to himself about what a great day it is for a walk. The sun is shining, the trees are budding, and the flowers are blooming. And the next frame shows an angry preacher standing in the park preaching to a bunch of listeners. And the preacher's saying, "Sinners, you're all sinners. You're all going to the devil, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth and fire and brimstone. Give up your heathen ways. Repent before it's too late. We passed this way only once. Only once." And in the last frame, Ziggy's walking past and he says to himself, "Boy, that's for sure. Next time I take a walk, it's going to be over on Elm Street." When it comes to sin, we like to walk in a different street. We don't like to recognize and talk about sin. The sin we have a problem with, denying the sin that we and others do. A psychologist friend once said that virtually 90% of all the people that he saw had the same disease. Now, each had their varied symptoms, but under all of their fears and their insecurities with others and themselves, underneath all of it, lay the inability to feel forgiven by God. Week in and week out, we confess our sins in worship. And now a lot of people say, "Well, I don't pray the prayer of confession because I don't do that stuff." Yes, we do. As humanity, we do that stuff. That's not the private confession. That's the corporate confession. That's the sin of humanity. And it behooves us all to confess that. And then after that, we have the time of silence for our own private confession. And then we pronounce forgiveness and the assurance of pardon. And when we walk out of here, we might have a little bit more spring in our step. Monday comes and we're feeling okay. We have a renewed sense of purpose, perhaps, and hope and promise. But by the time Saturday and the next Sunday get here, we feel mired down by missed opportunities, words spoken in anger and judgment, decisions lacking good judgment and stewardship. And perhaps we feel an anxiety that we're unable to do anything about it. That was Paul's complaint. He says, "I know the good I should do, but I can't do it." I'm sure there have been many times in your life, and I know there have in mine, when we could echo the words of David in Psalm 51. "My sin is ever before me." You see, the problem is, we know ourselves too well. Not only do we know what other people see, the things we do and the things we say, but we know what goes on up here. We know what goes on in the other parts of our lives that are private, that nobody else sees. And we see only the outward appearances or the outward sounds of others, and we think, "Oh my gosh, I'm so bad." Our sin is ever before us. But what the writer of 1 John states in different words is, sin is the universal disease. It's universal because everyone does it. And I find it interesting that the portion of the Lord's Prayer that is most universally true is the one that we're the most divided on. Debts, trespasses. Debts, trespasses. And when I go and preach or pray in an ecumenical group, and when I do my services at Brandywine and at Lounsbury, I use the modern version, which gives up debts and trespasses and uses the word sin. I mean, come on, let's call it what it is. And that way also we're all thrown off kilter altogether. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But the good news of the gospel, the good news of the whole of the Holy Scriptures, is that sin and death do not have the last word. In our Isaiah passage, we hear the forgiveness of God for the Hebrew people who are still in exile. But God says, come and you will be forgiven. Say you're sorry and I'll forgive you. And let's move on from here. God will once again, God bless God's people. And even though we are undeserving, Jesus has forgiven us. Even when we did the worst to Him by nailing Him to the cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. To me, that is the most powerful statement of the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Our creed states that Jesus now sits on the right hand of God to intercede on our behalf. This is really the only true way that we can be forgiven. If we were to wait until we were deserving, we've been waiting an awful long time. This is why when we pray the prayer, we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, we're not saying forgive us as much as we forgive other people. If that were the case, we would not be forgiven by God because most people generally are not very forgiving of others. That's why I say, do we really mean this? No, we don't mean that. What we are saying is forgive us and help us to forgive others. That's the only way we can pray that part of the prayer and have it mean anything for our lives. Now we pray for forgiveness. We hear that we are forgiven. But then there's that last piece, and I think that's the part we have the hardest to get to. We need to experience it, which we're not very good at. We tend to keep forgiveness up here, our experience of it, so to speak. But we've got to experience it down here. A seminary professor of mine told the story of a man who came to him while he was serving as a minister in a church. The man was distraught because he felt that he had committed the unpardonable sin. He considered suicide because he could not live with himself. The man sat there and he was shaking to the core. Consoling words did not help. So the minister finally said, come with me. And he took the man into the sanctuary, sat him down. He said, I'll be right back. He went, got his robe on, came in, had the man kneel in front of him, put his hand on his head, and intoned the words of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Go and sin no more. And the man left, a changed person, ready to forget the past and begin a new life. For him, it finally went from here to here. when it comes to the experience of forgiveness, an intellectual understanding isn't enough. We need to experience, we need to truly know in the core of our being that we have been forgiven. And that's the only way we can put on the garments of new life. When we are forgiven, we are transformed by God's grace, and we come back to God. You see, sin is that which separates us from God. Sin is that which separates us from each other. But when we experience the grace of God, we have that sense of coming back together. We become new people. We become filled with energy, with hope. We become reconnected to God. And the wonderful part of that is then that we have the power to do that for others. That's the second half of the phrase. Help us to forgive others. We have the power to restore relationships and literally transform the lives of others by forgiving them when they do something to us. Even if they don't say they're sorry. It is our way to say to them, you know, in spite of what you've done, I value you as a person, as a friend. And I don't want the sin that has happened to break that apart. They then feel and know that we care about them. That we want whatever we had with them to continue. That's an awesome feeling. That's the feeling we get when we ask God for forgiveness and we experience the grace of God. Because we hear God saying, "You are my beloved. And I want that to continue." In under 3 weeks, we will once again experience the darkest of action of our human sin on Good Friday. But then 3 days later, if we're open to God's grace, we can experience the great loving mercy of God in the resurrection. In order to untie the knot of sin, we begin by facing the fact that we are sinners. But we also need to be open and experience the mercy that God gives to us. My brothers and sisters, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. And let the people say, Amen.